I have often gotten the question, what is it that you do? This is a question that I'm hoping to answer over the course of the next few weeks, months, years, etc. My name is Jasmine Baker, and I am your favorite women's sports culturalist. And this is the Players of the New School podcast. I plan to answer this question that doesn't seem that deep to me, but I think it's an interesting question. It's a question that I get so often, and I can appreciate it for what it is because I don't need people to know what it is that I do. Players of New School was a video interview series that I did during the pandemic. Like so many others, I had to pivot, and with the lack of resources and the resources of simply my computer and personality, I decided to start Players in the New School. It simply is an idea of what does it look like if we explored the culture of women's sports, the influencers and the individuals within the culture that make it what it is and are frankly bringing it into the mainstream. I, for one, credit myself as being one of those individuals, and I'm having so much fun doing it. If anybody who has met me knows how passionate I am. Friends have been telling me for years that they've seen my progress, and I don't look at it as that because it's been just a journey for me. This started off with one athlete that I was trying to find. I couldn't find any information on, and now it is what it is today. When I went to Denver recently, I got to hit up a breakfast spot there and sit with two really cool individuals in women's basketball. Now, one I've already interviewed for Players of New School before, but the other one is new, and it was absolutely amazing. I had such a good time, and it was a lot of great insight in terms of the new era that we're experiencing in women's basketball right now. So without further ado, here's my first episode of Players of the New School, the podcast. All right, I'm hanging out today at Jelly U Cafe in the middle of Denver, Colorado, with two of some of my favorite individuals from women's basketball Twitter. Head coach at the University of Denver, Dosha Woods, and our favorite bomber, Rachel Gallagher. How are y'all doing today?
I'm good.
I am good. I'll just say, if you don't have your notifications on, when she tweets, it's like, did Rachel tweet it? That's how I feel sometimes. If Rachel didn't tweet it, I don't know if it's real. Yeah. Especially in the women's basketball world.
Hey, no Thank pressure. Yeah. No pressure, y'all.
Hey, blue check. Listen, and you know, it's so funny because that was one of my questions was, what are the benefits of being the Woj of women's basketball?
I get to listen and laugh at you guys talk about me like this. I still don't know how I found myself in this situation, so I always find it just, to me, the benefit is it's just funny. Like, I get a kick out of it, and I'm just very fortunate to be connected in ways that I've been very blessed with and known some really good friends through my coaching career, through my playing career, and just, I'm all about networking and meeting people, and it's just, I found myself in a position where I want to push the envelope, and I want to bring excitement to our game, and I'm just having a blast with it. I don't know how long I can keep it going, okay? Again, that pressure is a lot, but it's been fun.
I know a lot of people, well, I shouldn't say a lot of people. I would say some people on Twitter, I can tell, get very protective of you in that space and your particular role of being the bomb dropper. And if I noticed, like, when you had, Sham and a few other guys from Yahoo Sports who had dropped a few bombs over the past year, and people were like, whoa, this is Rachel's space. What are y'all doing? Like, where were y'all? And, you know, where have y'all been for the past 3-4 years, you know? What do you think? How do you think that either helps or hurts the game?
I just think competition in general is good, you know, and I think that I got to be a part of doing something that we hadn't really seen, and I had a blast. It was so much fun, but now I think you see a lot of people that are looking for more information, a lot of people who want to be involved in that space, a lot more outlets that want to be involved in the space, they want to cover women's basketball, so So it's growing, and I think that's just a byproduct of it. And you know, the guys that make a living by breaking news now want to put their hand in it, and I think it's a positive. I love the competition of it myself because I want to try to beat them.
Of course.
But deep down in my heart, I'm a competitor. So, you know, I think it's all positive. If someone beats me to something, I get a kick out of that. I laugh at it. I might be a little bit pissed off, you know, in a good way. Again, as a former competitor.
Damn.
But it's all good. To me, it's all positive. Yeah. And it's not about me. It's about the growth of the game. And I will continue to walk that line every single day and push that as much as I can.
Now, switching gears to college basketball, Coach Woods, you know, you just finished your first season. I see, I'm not sure if those are a few gray hairs you read.
Definitely a few, and they got names, so Megan and Pooju, they know, they got names, like they are responsible. Yeah, they're great, and it's funny because I've always wanted this full head of gray hair, but not this soon, but yes, they're your actual gray hairs.
Yeah.
Now I'm just going to let them grow.
Yeah.
I'm not dying in. I feel like that's Laffy Taffy money or something else.
No, I can definitely, I understand. Like, and I guess with you, you was finishing your first season during a pandemic. I can only imagine the type of adjustments you had to make, you know, for years being an assistant and now, you know, coming into that role. Can you talk a little bit about what you learned about yourself and your team that are going to help you go into this next season?
I think the biggest thing is patience. I didn't realize how patient I would be. I think the pandemic made it easier in a sense of I had to be flexible, right? It's whatever. COVID testing is at 7 a.m. We got practice at 8. They're behind. So now you have to improvise and how are you still going to maximize your time. So I think what I learned about myself is just my ability to be patient and pivot. I mean, those two things I felt like sustained me through the year. And because there were so many challenges with COVID, again, we were no different than anyone else. I just didn't know what I was supposed to do and not do since it was my first time being a head coach. And I think with the team, they really just taught me a lot too. But just, you know, they're so full of a different type of energy that if you don't give them the ability to give you some feedback and talk, then you can catch yourself just kind of being upset, running the circles. The sanitizer is my time to just calm my nerves. They all know when I get my sanitizer out, they're like, who made her mad? It wasn't me. Because I'm like, I'm just thinking about how I want to respond in this situation. So I would say the patience is the biggest thing that I learned about myself and just really the ability to evolve because the players are different, the game is different, and the pandemic forces all to evolve in ways that I didn't realize I was capable of, and that's starting with patience.
What was the craziest thing you experienced as a team during the pandemic?
Okay, we had, we came back from a road trip, I won't say where, but we had 5 positive COVID tests. And it was one of those where all year we talked about, and this is in conference play, all year we talked about not if it's going to happen, but when it's going to happen. And it wasn't going to be, we're not going to shun anybody, we don't know who got it, where, or how. So I was anticipating this. When we come back, I wasn't anticipating 5. So we had to cancel a game, and then the next week, because of protocols, we only had 6. And I'm like, okay, we can't sit out another weekend, so who wants to play? And they were kind of split. But I think that was the crazy part, just to watch some really be hesitant about wanting to play. We got to play back-to-back games, is how we were playing our games. And a few we didn't want to play. And so after a couple practices, I said, it's really your decision if you guys want to play. And if you ask them, the 6 that played, it was probably one of the most fun games because they didn't think they had it in them. They didn't think it's like, started thinking about all the excuses and that part. So I would say that was probably just the crazy part, just to watch them evolve through that and then to have to pivot. I mean, we did a lot of 1-on-1 drills, 2-on-2 drills. I'm too old to be jumping out there, so the assistants can jump out there. But yeah, that was our crazy, crazy moment.
How about you? What was your craziest moment during the pandemic?
I'm fortunate because I work from home. So, you know, the craziest thing was probably just when it first started, my girlfriend and I were trying to get from San Diego back to Denver. And literally we were like, are these flights gonna shut down? What are we gonna do? How are we gonna get there? And I remember when things were, this was right at the beginning, not knowing, were you gonna be able to cross state lines? How were you going to be able to travel? Well, you know, what does that look like? And I remember how panicked we were that day because we didn't want to be quarantined in her tiny apartment in San Diego. We were wanting to be here in Denver where we had, you know, a house and, you know, space. So we were trying to get back here. And honestly, it was pretty, outside of the anxieties that I think everybody faced one way or another. I mean, from a business owner's perspective, that was stressful for me. I wasn't sure how it looked, me doing the international thing that I do. It was pretty just calm from just, you know, just staying at home, doing your thing. Fortunately, being in a state of Colorado, being able to go out and hike and be out in nature was my big escape. So it was definitely a blessing to be here and not be in a really tight, you know, confined city or space where you felt really claustrophobic. But I think for me, the craziest thing was just right at the very beginning and just the unknowns of how are we going to get where we need to be right now. I'm sure so many people felt the same way.
I think that the crazy part was I actually enjoyed COVID. I think it was at a time where, you know, my wife and I, we wanted to slow down. And so when it happened, it was like everybody was forced to slow down. And so we learned so much about ourselves. We developed these little either date nights, because of course we got to stay in. And she learned how to cook. I like to eat. She liked to cook. So that works out. And it was just like we learned all of these things. And when people ask now, I'm like, not that we enjoyed it. Obviously, we went outside to be able, but we learned so much. And it was a positive for us. I know everybody had their different experience. But if you ask about 2020, it was probably one of the highlights of my life was the year 2020.
I like that. I learned to cook too. HelloFresh, aka, I don't know if you count that as cooking,
yeah,
but
it counts.
I learned a little bit. And you know what? I saved a lot of money.
Yes. Okay.
So that was a huge blessing. I was able to save a lot of money, and there were definitely some tough moments. You know, I think for me, you find a way.
Yes.
You find a way. And with the international stuff, it was challenging. And I remember talking to my stepmother, who is a business owner, and being like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And she was like, we find a way. You find a way. There is no excuse. And that really resonated with me. And I did and continue to. And I mean, it was a very challenging year, but I'm with you, Coach. Like, I don't like to look at it in a constant negative light of, you know, it was a ton of growth. And man, we all grew in very positive ways, I got to believe.
No, I totally agree. I think if you didn't grow, you're doing it, you did it wrong. I really do. Because I feel y'all on the learning process of it all. Man, and I still had to actually go into work, working where I work. So it was an adjustment for me because I was like, you got to get out of Texas. But that's what I learned. But I guess when it came down to the league, I still think it's very impressive with how the WNBA grew so much during the pandemic. I think probably more than a lot of other leagues did. Because, I mean, I think with other leagues, I think they've had that, like, they've been around for so long that, you know, they just kind of sustained and maintained that sort of thing. But I felt like the WNBA, especially when... Because it was what, the NWSL started their season, and then the WNBA started their season. And so I think it was that everybody was home, you know, it kind of forced. But I thought it was the most impressive thing about that, I thought, was the fact that they were able to keep their numbers down. And I think that's impressive. I'm not sure about y'all, but I thought that was probably one of the more impressive things that this season and last season, that they've been able to do that. And I think it speaks volumes about the league. And how it moves, it still has a lot of improvements to make, especially certain ownership. But you know,
I think that, you know, what made the WBA so special this last summer was just accessibility. A lot of times people can't watch a game or can't view a game, and because there wasn't a lot going on, you saw a lot more games, a lot of different platforms, and people weren't doing anything, so they started to watch. But it was phenomenal how they were able to just kind of keep the bubble the way that it was and make it a kind of, I don't know, it almost felt like they all were one big team, and then, okay, you go here, like this big, I don't know, AAU tournament is probably not the way to say it, but I think the accessibility of the league really enhanced it, and I think you're seeing that now in Summer 21, where people are, like, actually invested in a team or invested in players, so... But yeah, the bubble was impressive. I don't know how they pulled that off and continue to pull it off. I think it speaks to the players and the commitment. They're professionals, right? And they want to be able to show up and do their jobs and whatever that means for them. I think they're doing a great job of kind of setting the standards that way.
Agreed. Thank you, Coach, for breakfast. I've been up since 3 a.m., so I thoroughly enjoyed my breakfast with two amazing human beings. I have such an immense amount of respect for you both. So thank you for taking the time out.
Likewise.
Thank you. I know y'all think I'm crazy, but it's all right. You love it. There's so much appreciation
for
it.
We're getting up at 3 a.m.
I tell my mom never again. I'm not doing this ever again. But I'm looking forward to it. It will. You know what I'm saying? So I know I need to go by Denver. I need to go check out the campus because I'm really excited about being here. The weather's amazing. But thank you all for being here.